Welcome back, folks, to the Right Field Roundtable Podcast. My name is Brent Mraz here with Cooper Husky and Austin McWaters. We are talking all things Alabama baseball like we have before. And Cooper, Austin, SEC play has started. And I think we should just jump right into it to start the headline. My task was to write for Friday. And my headline that I decided for this game was Home Run Derby in Fayetteville. And not for the Razorbacks. No, this was for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Alabama went into Arkansas, playing the number one team in the country, Arkansas, and won 16-1, putting up 10 runs in the second inning. Guys, what was your first impression of this game?
I mean, that was just crazy. And this game was on Friday, and we had predicted a win, or at least Austin and I had predicted a win. Brandon, you predicted a loss here. But I didn't think it was going to be anything like that. You know, this is SEC play. This is when the games get tough. You know, we're not going to be winning games 16-1, and yet we did. And just a 10-run second inning was just a wonderful, wonderful surprise while watching basketball on Friday.
It was a good time. Yeah, listen, and I thought it was funny, too. So we send Tyler Raz out there to start the series, right? And I think last week, all of us, regardless of what day we picked the first loss to come on, Tyler Raz was going to be on the mound for all those predictions. And pleasantly surprised with him. Only giving up six hits, six innings pitch, one run, you know, six strikeouts. He had a great outing. Really, really good outing. And then obviously Connor Shamblin comes in and he's been solid pretty much all year. Three innings pitched, two hits, no runs, four strikeouts. This was just an all around beating. Home runs by Diodati, Caden Rose, Jackson Tate. I mean, the list goes on and on. Just a great piece of hitting, great piece of offense, great piece of defense. Alabama takes the win here.
You know, guys, just a good overall win. I mean, can you ask for anything better? You get six innings out of your starting pitcher. And then I know we've talked about a lot in these past few weeks about Connor Shamblin comes out and has a really great outing of three innings pitch, no earned runs, and just finishes the game for us. You know, super solid going into that first game of the weekend to be able to have two guys on the mound, close it out, and save some of your guys for the rest of the weekend. And just, you know, offensive performance. I mean, can't ask for any better. A 10-run inning, you know, like – Cooper's already mentioned this is midweek game territory, and you know, to be able to see that in an opening SEC game makes you really excited.
Yeah, you're absolutely right with that. So then we head into Saturday. Austin, I know you covered this one, I believe, and a little bit of upsetting outcome for the Crimson Tide, 9-1 loss. You know, we expected a loss, but Austin, what was your initial impressions?
So, you know, guys, we all predicted a lot. We expected this. You know, we saw this coming out of a little lull on Saturday. We've kind of seen that in the path through our games and kind of expected it, especially going into a tough SEC opponent. But it was, you know, kind of exciting to be able to see this team early on. You know, you go through the first two innings scoreless. And really, I mean, Coach Bohannon touched on it in his interview. We're in this game until the end of the fifth inning. So, I mean, you know, we're down 3-0 at the end of the fifth, giving those up in individual innings, third through the fifth apiece. So, really, you know, you're in that game. You're down 3-0. You've got a chance to come back, and you're really still competing in that game on Saturday, and that's what you want to see, just falling apart more in the late innings. Dylan Smith, you know, had a really strong showing at the beginning of the game, and just kind of, you know, our pitching just kind of fell apart towards the end. And really never recovered, having to bring in three relievers pitching about an inning each. And, you know, just a really tough game on Saturday. However, it is interesting to note Dylan Smith still hitting 9 strikeouts. You know, the guy can definitely get guys swinging, definitely get guys out. It's just a matter of how we're managing getting guys on base and what we're doing on making sure we're stranding those guys for sure. Not a lot of offensive firepower on that side either. Only one run scored. That came in the top of the sixth. So, you know, just overall, all the boxes that we hit on today, we missed on Saturday. And just not great offensive performance, and just the pitching suffered a little bit, and that's how we ended up with our outcome.
Yeah, I kind of had the same sentiment with you for Dylan Smith, just because, you know, in college baseball, if you're a starter, you know, you only give up 3 runs. Seems like a lot, but in college baseball, you know, you expect to pitch 5 innings, give up 3 runs, and especially with nine strikeouts, you're hoping your guys on offense can help out and your bullpen can back you up. And unfortunately, that's exactly what happened. Not to say that that's, you know, the bullpen or anyone's fault. I just think that, you know, we kind of just kind of lost it there. And unfortunately, we got the bad outcome. But, you know, I wasn't too totally discouraged by this game. I think it was just, like we said, and like we've been saying for all teams in the SEC, it was an off day.
I'll take the opposite opinion of you, Brandon. I am discouraged because, and not on Dylan, but on our bullpen and our batting, because Dylan has been going out great this year. Like, that's all this podcast has been, is raving over Dylan Smith. And yet his record, by what I'm seeing right now, is 0-2. Dylan Smith is doing great, but when he's on the mound, the bats just can't find any contact. And if we win the game with Dylan on the mound, it's because we got the winning runs after he's done pitching. And it's not his fault. When he's done pitching, the score is like 1-1 or 2-2, you know? So I'm a little frustrated with our guys not making Dylan Smith look as good as he actually is, you know? Because we go up against some of these other SEC teams. I see Smith is on the mound with an 0-2 record. Oh, we're going to hit all over this guy. No, you're not. It's just hopefully our bats will wake up with him on the mound.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I don't know. I kind of disagreed with the order that we had going into this game, too. You know, Bo has been really putting Dio towards the bottom of the lineup, which I'm not, like, totally thrilled with yet. I understand, like, yeah, you want to get some lower lineup hits, but I don't think sacrificing Owen Diodati for that is totally necessary. You know, like a guy like Drew Williamson, you know, or William Hameter for that matter, who are fairly solid but maybe don't offer as much power. I mean, granted, Hameter and Williamson have their fair share of home runs this year and have been hitting really well, but I just think with such a solid hitter with Dio, I'd like to see maybe he and Drew Williamson stretch, just because Dio's got more of that power with people in scoring position, where Drew has been just consistent with singles and doubles this year. So I just think if we're going for like later hits in the lineup, I'd like to see some of those guys like Drew and maybe even Prater drop down and give our guys Zane and Owen Diodati a little bit more in the 3-4 position.
Yeah, and to go off that, I don't think you really need to juice the bomb half of the lineup. I mean, with Jarvis and Rose down there, I mean, it seems like those two guys are kind of taking care of it, you know? Don't really have to worry about getting hits in later innings. Because Jarvis is doing all right, Rose is doing all right. Heck, even Pickney is doing all right. I don't think you need to put Dio down there. Put him in a classic cleanup hitter spot at 4. Let's get some early runs in the first inning.
Yeah, I think that's also where we kind of fall short. I mean, like, think about it. We've been falling behind pretty early, 3-4, you know, 2-3-4 innings, even the 5th. And, you know, that's 3rd inning. That's a big spot that we could have Dio in, and we normally don't. So, I agree with you. I think with the guys like Jarvis and Rose are all, and even Pickney, they're all hitting really well. So I really don't understand this strategy. I'll be interested to see if it changes a little more in the coming series. But with that, we move to Sunday, and Cooper was covering this one. Tough loss for the Crimson Tide, 3-1.
Yeah, it was a tough loss, and it was just a quiet game for both teams. I mean, John was – he was pretty good on the mound. He went 5 innings, gave up 3 hits and 1 run. Only struck out 2, but, you know, of our starting pitchers, John really isn't the strikeout king. I'd probably give that crown more to Dylan Smith. But, you know, you wish to see a little bit more than that, but John did all right. It was the bats, again, that I'm worried about. You know, we got 16 in game 1. And only 2 over 18 innings in games 2 and 3. So, and it came in the 9th off a Sam Prater home run, which you like to see. You like to see a late inning push, but, you know, it wasn't enough. Arkansas had gotten a solo shot in the 4th, and a 2 RBI single in the 6th. So, I mean, it's just a classic 3-1 loss. You hate to see it, but it's nothing to call off the season for, you know.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, we knew the series was going to be tough, especially going in. You know, Arkansas is the number one team in the nation. But conversely, that's how the SEC is. I mean, the top five in baseball is all SEC teams right now. So, yeah, it's unfortunate that they lost. I don't think it's too terribly bad. But I think instead of looking at this and being like, oh, well, we played the number one team, it needs to be a learning experience for these guys to understand, okay, in order to win in this league, we have to play to this level every single day. And we saw that with Arkansas. Now we have to transfer what we learned to the next series against Ole Miss. But I don't know. I just think they need to – this needs to be a learning experience. This can't be just, hey, you know, we played a tough team. This is how it's got to go to play in the SEC. So I'm not worried. I just think this is the turning point early that Alabama needs to take in order to be successful later in the season.
It's a good wake-up call. You know, right. Like, hey, we haven't done this in 2 years, but welcome to the SEC. It's a tough place to play baseball. So, you know, we can't walk over small directional schools from Alabama anymore. We got to lace up our shoes, go out there and win these games because we can. We just need to know that it's going to be tougher.
Right. And guys, to that point, I think one of the spots where that's really hurt us, not as much in our pitching. You know, we showed up in two quality games this weekend. We won the one on Friday and Sunday. You know, you can't really ask for more than giving up three runs in a full nine-inning game. You know, it really is the only day that we have even any room for, you know, missteps. And Dylan Smith pitched a pretty solid game in the beginning of that outing. I think it really comes down to hitting. It really comes down to the offensive power. If you look at what we were talking about on Saturday, only two hits through that whole game. So, you know, you have the one run, but only off two hits. And going on Sunday, only four hits through that game. So, you know, really just these guys got to get, you know, we got to get the bats moving, got to get going. And kind of touching on what Cooper's talking about, I think, you know, we've kind of hit a little batting practice lull against the Alabama circuit. And, you know, it really comes to tell on our offensive side, I think, for sure.
Yeah, I think you're both right with that. So it'll be interesting to see how the Tide progresses throughout their season. So switching gears here, when we come back in part two, we're going to look ahead at Alabama's schedule upcoming next week. Got a good group of home games coming up. So when we return, we'll be talking about that and Alabama's strategy going into that. So stick around, and this is the Right Field Roundtable Podcast.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum, my favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
Welcome back, folks, to the Right Field Roundtable Podcast. We are back with part two, looking ahead at the Crimson Tide's upcoming week in baseball. We start off in Tuscaloosa on Tuesday, 3 p.m., Southern Miss. Let's get our first impressions on these guys.
Well, Southern Miss, they're a pretty good team. They're 12-6 on the year right now, winning two-thirds of their games, and have played some similar opponents as the Tide in these weekend and midweek games. They've played South Alabama. They've played Jacksonville State and a couple of those other schools that we've already played. And from what I can see in common opponents, similar records. I think we might be a little better. They went 0-2 against South Alabama and 2-1 over Jacksonville State. So, you know, that small school versus small school, they're coming here. I think it'll be a good win. I think it'll be an easy win and a way to clear our minds from last weekend.
Yeah. I think this is a definitely get back on track game. This needs to be good for, you know, confidence, get some at ABs for all the big guys, get the lineup right and, you know, get ready to go into the weekend. But other than that, I think this is going to be a good win. Awesome.
Sure, guys. I think it's going to be a good game, but also kind of interested and, you know, just feel good about the fact that we have the components like Cooper's mentioned, and they've been able to compete with those teams. So I think this is definitely going to be a little bit of a higher level competition than we've seen in some of these midweek games. So I think, you know, we can definitely get some good innings out of this game to help prepare us for this weekend. I'm excited about seeing that instead of just a runaway win.
Right. Yeah. On that note, I will give you my score prediction to start. 100% agree with you, Austin. You know, everything you said there, again, back on track game, Bama wins 6-2.
I'll increase a little bit. I'll go 7-4. And just a note on the game, it has had a time change due to inclement weather. It's been moved from 6 p.m. to 3 p.m. on Tuesday.
I'm going to call a closer one here. I'm going to say around 3-1 Alabama. I really think that Southern Miss is going to come up and give us a good fight on Tuesday.
All right. I like it. And then another team from Mississippi travels to Tuscaloosa, but this is in conference rivals, and I believe they are the number 3 team in the nation. Number 2? Number 3?
Somewhere around there.
Somewhere around there. I don't think the rankings have come out yet for this upcoming week. I think they were 3, though, prior to this week. But Ole Miss coming to Tuscaloosa, Thursday game for the Crimson Tide, early weekend series, 6 p.m. Thursday on ESPNU. So be on the lookout for that. You won't have to search the annexes of the ESPN app to watch your Crimson Tide. You can just turn on the regular TV. But I think, you know, this is going to be a good game for the Tide. I think, you know, home SEC opener, they're going to be juiced. They're going to be ready to go. Tyler Razz back out there, and I'm excited to see that. And I think it's a 5-4 victory, Tide winning late in the 8th inning.
All right. All right. Ole Miss is a tough team, and they have had some pretty good games scheduled and some pretty good wins. It swept Auburn last weekend. It's hard to say. We've been playing good in these opening games, so I'm going to go ahead and give us the win. I'm going to go tight 2-1 victory. Tyler Razz doesn't give up a run while he's out there. The bullpen gives up one, but I think we'll get two runs, which will be enough to give Razz the win and the Crimson Tide the victory.
Awesome.
I agree with you for sure, Cooper. You know, and always great to see a team sweep Auburn. You know, can't miss that. You know, I'm watching early in the season Ole Miss. I mean, you know, wins against TCU, Texas Tech, and Texas, all three top 25 ranked teams. And they can definitely move the bats, you know, just looking at their last series against Auburn, scoring 19-11 in their last game on Sunday. Now, I definitely agree that we're going to come out swinging on Friday, and it will give us a fighting chance. And I'm really hoping to see those bats moving again for our opening game of the series like we saw last weekend. I'm going to go 9-4 Alabama.
All right. Oh, big win. Yeah, I think those are all pretty viable. I think it's very hard to see us losing that first game just because how great we've been on the first day. So, but then we move to Friday at 6 p.m. in Tuscaloosa. You know, I feel bad because I know Dylan Smith's probably going to be on the mound for this game, and I want to be like, you know what, he finally gets it, but analytics say otherwise, and we know stats don't lie. So in a tight contest, Alabama loses 4-3. Dylan Smith pitches 6 scoreless. However, the bullpen ends up giving up those 4 runs. Crimson Tide make a late comeback but are not able to complete it.
That's a heartbreaker you just described right there.
Yeah, I know.
And yet I have to agree with you. I hate to do this to Dylan Smith because he'll most likely be pitching on Friday, but until the team can show me that they will rally behind Smith and finally give him his first win on the season, like first official win, I've got no confidence. I say Ole Miss tees up on us. I go 6-1 Ole Miss for game 2.
All right. Awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to have to defer here, guys. I think maybe a little something in the air playing on Friday, you know, get that Friday afternoon at your second game. I'm really just, you know, hoping and think Dylan Smith's going to come out and give a solid outing. I think the offense is going to move for really the first time on that second game so far this year. And I think we're going to lose a close one 3-2, but it's going to be a definitely hard fall game. And I really hope to see some improvement out of the team in the second game of the series.
Yeah, me too. I hope they can rally around him. I hope you're right, Austin. But, you know, looking at the analytics, it's tough. And then Saturday at 1 p.m., which might bode to be an extremely busy day in Tuscaloosa sports-wise. You know, shout out to Bama Baseline basketball. But, Saturday could be interesting. 1 p.m., first pitch. You know what? I like John on the mound. I think he can give us a lot. And I think we can win this series. I know Ole Miss is tough, but I think the combination of John and maybe another and then Lee, we can get it done. Alabama wins 6-4. They take the series.
All right. I'm going to copy your prediction exactly. John okay. Mound, we get the meatloaf over Ole Miss. Really, the dark spot for me I see on this team right now is that game two performance with Dylan Smith on the mound. And it's not Smith's fault, as I've been stressing this whole podcast. It's not Smith's fault. But I feel like that's our low point. And Sunday we'll come back with a vengeance. We'll win this 4-1. We'll get the win. We'll get the first series win of SEC play in forever. And we'll look forward to the next series.
I like it. I like it. Austin.
So I definitely see the win on Friday. I'm picking against the advice of my better judgment and you two guys against a heavy loss on Saturday. So I think it's going to catch up with us on Saturday in this final game. I think it's going to be a little bit of a rout, and I think Ole Miss is going to take this one away from us 9-1.
Oof. All right. Well, those are our predictions. That's the look ahead. We'll see you in part three. We're going to talk some more SEC baseball, kind of give you a synopsis of what's going on in the conference, how Ole Miss did this past weekend, and see how things are shaping up. So stick around, and this has been the Right Field Roundtable Podcast.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
Welcome back, folks, to the Right Field Roundtable Podcast. As we are, Cooper and I are just discussing our hatred for the Red Sox. Austin, I know you're probably not in that hatred of the Red Sox group, but I also don't like the Mets. So,
hey, there we go.
Everybody can hate the Red Sox. Is all I'm going to say. You know, if you don't live in Boston, you don't like the Red Sox.
Morally corrupt franchise, if you ask me.
Indeed.
But anyway, we got some SEC games to talk about starting on last Tuesday. Obviously, Alabama didn't play Troy. Several area teams did not play that day due to the very dangerous weather. Tuesday. No, Tuesday. Wednesday. Both days, Tuesday and Wednesday, regardless. A lot of teams were impacted by that, but some teams did play. And I'll start out. Kentucky lost to Murray State 13-8. Again, I think this is one of those games, like we've said, that SEC team just didn't show up. I mean, if you look at the box score, Kentucky had 13 hits, but two errors. So they out-hit Murray State, but Murray State ended up getting the win. Again, just litany of errors, messing up. It's not a good game, but doesn't reflect the whole team. Anyone else see anything big on Tuesday?
Yeah, Florida got blown out of the water by Florida State 10-2 in an in-state battle. Something you hate to see, you know, because first off, Florida State, another one of those teams where you can just hate and it doesn't matter why, you know, they're good to hate. But, you know, Florida gave up 13 hits, 10 runs off those hits. They only got four hits themselves. Only brought two runs in, so just a bad game. They're still one of the top five teams in the nation right now. It's nothing to look into, but you hate to see a blowout loss like that.
Yeah. That's tough for the Gators. Man, Florida State just kind of came out of nowhere, though.
Exactly. Just popped up and down the park.
Yeah. Austin, did you see anything big on Tuesday?
I think for sure we need to highlight the Ole Miss Rebels coming in, losing their first midweek game of the season to Louisiana Tech, 13-1. So not only did they lose, they lost big. I think that's a good sign, you know, like we've mentioned on the podcast before, you know, just dropping one of those games is pretty much inevitable through SEC schedule. But maybe it'll be a telling sign that Ole Miss is starting to show some chips in the armor, so to speak, and we can capitalize on that going into this weekend.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Definitely is good to see some weaknesses and try to exploit them starting on Thursday. So good point. We move into Wednesday. Again, a couple teams got inclement weather cancellations. But South Carolina did play, and they lost to Davidson. 9-4. Like we said, South Carolina is going to be a sneaky team out of the East. So it was really interesting to see them lose to someone like Davidson, you know? I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
That's just a midweek game. You know, you throw your freshmen out, your sophomores out. You're playing for experience, not for the wins. All I know is I'd rather be hiding out in a tornado shelter than watching my baseball team lose to Davidson, though. So,
yeah.
Roll Tide is on.
Yeah. Very, very true with that. So then we move into Thursday. Only one game on Thursday. Florida and Texas A&M started their weekend series, much like us this week, on a Thursday. And Florida's struggles did not continue. They came out and won 13-4 with 16 hits and one error.
I mean,
They're back,
yeah. Just a great game for the Gators. You know, everybody getting involved. My guy Colby Halter going 2-for-4 with 2 runs and 2 RBIs. That's what you like to see. Bishop Kenny represent. That's where we're both from. And so, yeah, you just got to watch out for this Florida team. They are going to be dangerous. So, warning to all SEC teams now.
Yeah. Yeah, so then we move into Friday and – crazy enough, the thing I'm going to point out from Friday is not the team who won, but the team who lost. And we'll go back to that South Carolina team. South Carolina went into Vanderbilt, and I'm pretty sure this game was either before or right after our game on Friday. But got to catch a glimpse of this along with the Crimson Tide. And like we said, South Carolina is going to be a force in the East, and a 3-2 loss in Nashville against one of the two best pitchers in college baseball right now from Vanderbilt. It's a pretty good showing. And I think with more experience down the road, I think South Carolina is, like we said, going to be a really, really good competitor in the East with Nashville or with Vanderbilt and Nashville. What else did you guys think?
Definitely. The Gamecocks played the Doors pretty strong. Couple other things, Mississippi State gained the win over LSU 6-1. You know, this was just a solid game for Mississippi State, proving why they're the number 3 team in the country right now, just defeating number 19 6-1. Like, it's an overall good game. Another team I'm not looking forward to play, you know, just as we keep stressing, all the top 5 teams are in the SEC, and I think we play 4 of them. So it's going to be a tough road.
Only missed out on Florida.
Yes.
It couldn't have been Vanderbilt, but it is what it is. Austin, what stood out to you on Friday?
So I'm going to continue a scouting report of Ole Miss for our coming up series. Also hate how much I mentioned the Auburn Tigers on this podcast and how they always seem to be featured by me. But we're going into a 1-0 win by Ole Miss. A very hard fought game. 5 hits apiece by both teams. It's very interesting and noteworthy to see, you know, Auburn leaving 5 guys stranded, and also to see Ole Miss's pitching staff. So you have a pitcher coming into the night. Gunner shows a shutout victory, and not only does he shut out, he pitches 8 innings with 13 strikeouts. So, you know, a guy we're going to need to watch out for, who's definitely going to pitch in this series, and a guy who has the potential to go all the way in SEC games and has proven that. So it'll be very interesting to watch him.
Awesome. Yeah. It will be very interesting to watch. So then we moved into Saturday. I'm going to start with a series that I just highlighted, but for a different reason. Vanderbilt's leader hurls 16 strikeouts in a no-hitter in his first ever SEC start. So not only did this guy make his first ever SEC debut, pitch a shutout, pitches a no-hitter, but along the way throws 16 strikeouts. 5-0 Vanderbilt beats South Carolina.
I mean, that's just unfair.
That's not right.
It's just unfair that you have a kid coming in for his first start and he has that performance. Wow. Is this what the other schools feel like in football against us, you know, freshmen coming out?
Spin zone, though. Spin zone on it. Connor Prelip would have done that last year if we had an SEC season. We don't know.
We don't know. We don't know. And he still has yet to make his first SEC start, so he can still do that.
That's what I'm saying.
This kid leader could be a Connor Prelip situation. You know, he could.
Exactly.
So we don't know.
We don't know. Cooper, what stood out to you on Saturday?
I'm going to highlight Georgia getting the upset win over Tennessee, 5-4. They came out swinging, got 10 hits off the Volunteers, and upset the number 13 team in the country, you know. It was just a pretty good showing by Georgia. I bet this was a series they weren't expecting to scrape a win out of, but they battled back. They fought hard, and they took one from Tennessee, so props to them.
Yeah, that's definitely a really good win for them. Definitely one of the ones on the calendar that I kind of just chalked up for Tennessee to get a sweep. So very interesting to see that Georgia could come out and win that game. Awesome. What else stood out to you?
Game that stood out for me, guys, is Kentucky pulling out the win over Missouri 5-4. Now, the circumstances to this one is just insane. Cam Hill comes out and never has an official hit or an official at-bat as he substituted in, steals his way around to third, and then comes around home on a wild pitch to score the walk-off win for Kentucky. Just an amazing way to win a game.
That is absolutely electric. And honestly, one of the better stats I've heard from SEC baseball, to be honest with you. That's awesome. I did not know that. And that is definitely something that should have been highlighted. And I'm really glad you did. That's fantastic. So moving into Sunday, and I guess I'll just finish it out and just totally recap the entire series, Vanderbilt and South Carolina, because I will. South Carolina gets the win over Vanderbilt. And like we said, tough team in the East, South Carolina Gamecocks, and they get a win in Nashville. Granted, it's obviously not against either of the two aces for Vanderbilt. And they did just get no hit on Saturday. But regardless, still a good win anytime you beat Vanderbilt, especially in Nashville. So, like I said, look out for the Gamecocks. They're coming. Cooper?
All right, I'll highlight LSU. They beat Mississippi State 8-3, preventing themselves from being swept by the number three team in the country. And, you know, it's just a solid game. They got 8 runs off 7 hits, so good for them. Like we said, they're the flip-flop team of the SEC, so it really depends on who shows and who comes out for LSU that day. And I think on Sunday – LSU came out as like the team that's determined to win and not going to roll over like they have in, earlier in the season.
Agreed. That was a good win for them. Austin, what did you have for us on this Sunday?
So we'll go back to the Tennessee-Georgia series. Got to highlight Tennessee on the Sunday performance. Blade Titwell in his first SEC start gets a career high 7 innings and allows only 1 run. So definitely a solid performance by them. They come out and squeak the win 4-1.
Yeah, that is that's some good pitching again. Listen, if you haven't got anything from this segment yet this year, understand this league is absolutely disgusting at the sport that they play. That is baseball. Anybody can beat anybody. Everyone's good. So, like we said, the Tide are going to have to step it up and get ready. But that has been the last week in the SEC. So with that being said, this is the end of part three. This is the end of the podcast. We appreciate you listening to Ray Field Roundtable. And we'll be back with you after this Ole Miss series. And hopefully reporting on the Tide's first SEC series win. So thank you for listening. We'll see you next week on the Ray Field Roundtable podcast.